This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Patty Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and everyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
Now, hello, I'm Hattie Ashdown and welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. And so, just to bring you up to date, while we had a lovely time with our series talking to TV mums or talking to funny mums about their favourite TV mums, I'm really excited for a return to our original format of welcoming a panel of funny mummies and chewing over topics to keep you company and hopefully share a laugh or two. So let's see who we've got today. I'm very excited as they are actually two of my real friends. That sounds awful to any comedians that have been on and I've gone, these are, well, you know what I mean. They're like before comedy. Before I used to laugh. You know, they've seen me half naked. I don't think my comedy friends have.
I've seen you whole naked.
Have you seen me whole naked? We'll get to you in a minute. Right, so first up, she's an actress with many credits after studying at RADA. I know it might seem a long time ago now, but I like mentioning it because I've got that proud friend thing. Most recent, she plays regular Vicky DeFrench in the Amazon, and I think it's on Netflix, series Pennyworth. She's mum of two, and most importantly, my promo job, Survivor. And she's a godson to my oldest. It's Jessica Clare.
Hello.
Next, she's a stage, TV and radio writer, creator of play and published book Mudlarks, and most recent you can catch her show original drama on BBC Radio 4, The Piper. She's my uni buddy and she was my maid of honour. It's Vicky Donoghue.
Woo!
Vicky's been on a few times, but not in this sort of Zoom capacity.
Have you? Are you old tap?
Yeah, this is like, this is fine.
It's just like run of the mill. Out comes the Merlot.
So welcome, real friendies. Well, hopefully we'll try and get some decent stuff out. So what we do is we do a little quick fire round. I always say it's because normally, well, for the listeners, they'll be getting to know you, but it's a nice way of the listeners getting to know you quite quickly. And as you know, as mums, we never get to finish a sentence. So actually, we've got really good at just saying things really quickly. Yeah. So what I'm going to do, because I've not done it like this before, is if we say... let's say Vicky always goes first and then Jess goes second. Okay. Right, cool. So just like give me the first answer that comes into your head. Okay. What one item could you not live without as a parent, Vicky?
Wet wipes.
Oh, yeah. Jess?
It's flat cap. I don't need wet wipes anymore. I just do without.
Did you say flat cap?
Yeah.
That you wear?
Yes, I haven't seen you for so long. I mean, this lockdown malarkey, it's my new thing. It's more important. Well, nappy's number one, but number two, flat cap. It's, I never ever get to wash my hair ever. And the roots, which you can't really see in this light, but they are insane. And it's that combination of that minging root. It just doesn't work in your 40s where you've got the flex and the, it's just not happening. And then the grease, which seems to get worse and worse, even post hair wash these days, because it's gone so long without being washed. Even when I wash it, it goes greasy sort of straight away. Yeah. So I just rock the flat cup, even at home sometimes. Yeah. Amazon guys are always coming round. So just keep it on my head till bed.
I love the way you're answering the door like something from Peaky Blinders with your little flat cap. All right.
trying to be some sort of it's edgy.
Feel like the grease might look better than a flat cap.
I don't know. It works better out of the house than in.
Little tip. Yeah. This is not funny. This is boring, but it's a good tip. I have the same problem. Is a toner. Have you used a toner? I think that to like before you can get your roots done, that really helps to keep it dry.
Toner.
I'll text you about it. I'll text you the ones that I use. Like what? A little toner, like a blonde toner.
Yeah, what is a toner?
Yes, it's called a toner.
What?
You've never been to a hairdresser and they say you want a toner.
I thought that was what you put on your face. Isn't that what you put on your face? No. Maybe back in the day, we're talking 1998 or something.
No, it's a colour.
Okay, it's colour thing. So it's a toner that you do in the salon.
You know, like they say sometimes, do you want a toner? And you're always like, it's extra money, so you say no. But I started having it, and it's brilliant for keeping the grease away.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is it? They don't ask me anymore. I think you've got to be quite edgy to get asked that question. They just look at me, frumpy mum. I'm not even going to bother.
Just give her a basic shampoo.
You can tell a frumpster. Frumpster walking through the door. Yeah, there's toner women and there's non-toner women. You and Vicky are toner women and Jessica is like a non-toner woman.
Do you know what I mean by toner, Vicky?
No, I don't dye my hair.
Of course you don't. But you did. What you have done.
What? That's not natural.
My hair cannot it's handle so bleach, good. So I don't need no, I don't.
No, it's a beautiful colour for the, you know, this is not podcast stuff, but for the, you know, Google Vicky Donahue and she's got beautiful hair. right, next question. Okay, are we all into WhatsApp, class WhatsApps, or are you what that?
I was that till lockdown, and I'd still hate it, but it's been a lifeline, even though they're all annoying.
There's always going to be some, but yeah, it's right. And is it on your class WhatsApp? Is it all just the mums?
Yes, but the teachers had to be joined in recently, so the dynamic's gone very strange. She's lovely.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
The teachers are in.
So they're all sensible.
Yeah, it's all a bit, I think it's quite common in that school. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. I don't think you should be that close to your teacher.
No, I think that's weird.
Very modern.
So then what do the teachers ask?
No, I think it's they're quite happy to be on there because also I think it's too, my parents were teachers. You don't want to be on call all that time. It's not.
Yeah.
Need some that's time out. No, and so we're all texting each other in the evening going, what on earth were we meant to do? And then she'll pop up. Oh, don't worry, ladies. Just, you know, and it's like, oh, I wasn't really asking her. We were sort of, we would have figured it out. We would have figured it out between ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you can't, and I know on our one, you can't have any of that. You know, some people love showing a little bit of the personality. They go, oh, have you seen the new TA? Oh, he looks a bit nice. Yeah. There's all that stuff. You can't have any of that. Jess, what about you? WhatsApp
I'm definitely at that, but like Vicky said, it has its uses, but I still hate it. But I do really hate it. I hate how it's very competitive, mummy. You still get, even though it can be very useful, you get the updates from the mums that seem to have the kid that's done all the homework. And not only do they show you all the homework that's been done, but you see like the immaculate house in the background of the photo. Stuff like that. I'm not feeling that.
Oh, really?
And what else? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's one. Yeah. There's one in particular. All the homework that's been done amazingly, and the house, which is like a film set sort of house. And then I just hate the world. I hate myself. I hate life. And then it becomes useful when you can't remember what. When you can't remember the Zoom login, I'm like, panic, what's the code?
It's so useful for that, for people like, it's clearly us, who can't quite remember what we were meant to do, or that you're meant to bring so-and-so in the morning at 9 o'clock. And you're like, how did I not know that?
Yeah.
It has its uses. I actually don't think I could do without it now.
No, you're right.
But you just have to be I sometimes have those days where you're like, oh God, I feel really shit and everything, and then I can't bear looking at it. But then other days when I'm just like, sod it, and I'll be the comedy one and go, this is what we're living in, and show a picture of my shitty house and everyone laughs. And it's like, because you know, I think you've got to be the comedy.
Yeah, you're right. I should do that. I'm not there yet. I've got to get to
you'll
that
get
stage.
There. You'll get there.
Yeah.
And put things up. They might not love putting up, oh, it's 1 o'clock and all that. There's a lot of that, but you're not going to get that when you've got teachers online. So that's our quick fire round over. Thank you very much. I should have said at the top, I didn't say our topic. So now, because we're back to doing a panel show basis, as it were, we always have a topic. And so I thought, basically, the topic is no hugs, as in discussing the lack of, you know, physical touch and interaction that we are living in this pandemic. If you're listening in the future, we are, in case there's like another 6 pandemics, where this is COVID-19 and this is 2021 and it's January. So that's where we're at. We can't hug anyone except anyone we live with. But I thought, rather than sort of getting into that, making ourselves too sad thinking about that, we will get into that. I thought I'd just be nice to get to the root of hugging and our sort of like relationship with it. And so first of all, would you consider yourselves huggy people?
My family aren't very huggy, but I would say I'm a huggy person, but then I realise I'm not really from a huggy family. So that's made me feel like I'm not a particularly huggy person. But oh my goodness, when I do meet a huggy person and I get that, loving it.
And they're like, bring it in. You're like,
what have I been missing out on?
You know what?
Wayne always goes to me when we leave my mum and dad's, go and hug your dad. I'm like,
yeah,
stop him.
I get that.
Don't hug him. I love it.
Yeah, that's what
Andy
does.
And do you? And I can imagine your dad going, bop, 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 bop.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I'd written this on a piece of paper because I had a little conversation with Alex before having a little bet on what you were going to say about your families, because that was going to be my next question, was like, do you think you come from huggy families? And I did actually say, I think Vicky's going to say her mum and dad are not huggy people in the sense that they won't instigate the hug. But yeah. If I went to hug your mum, would she enjoy it?
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
she would.
But you're such a good hugger, Hattie. You're such a good hugger.
Oh, thanks. That's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said.
Yeah, you're such a good hugger. You've got great bosom to the perfect height. You're just, you know,
oh,
lovely.
Thank you. I'll put that on my next Edinburgh poster. Jess, can I just say my prediction on...
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure whether you were going to say if you're a hugger, but my prediction of whether I thought you came from huggy people, my prediction was this, that you were going to say your dad is huggy in your family, but not huggy to people he doesn't know very well.
Yeah.
And that your mum, I'm just not sure about your mum.
Oh, my mum.
Am I right?
Zero hugger person. My mum is allergic to hugs. She does not know how to hug or how to receive a hug. It is quite comedy. It's like comic track. It is tragedy. It's comedy tragedy. Because Andy, my partner, for those listening, is the most huggy person. In fact, during lockdown, he comes down from his little work. He comes down about 15, 20 times a day for a cuddle.
Oh!
And he actually said today, he said just out of the blue, not even knowing the theme of the podcast, he said, it's like my fuel. I need it more than food, he said. This is at midday. And I'm like very much like my mum. I don't really know how to receive the hug. I've never really, I sort of stand there awkwardly knowing that he loves it. And then I am sort of needing to get free, which is awful to say. That's to do with, you know, all the trauma of my boarding school life and all that. But I didn't have any hugs from like 93 to 98.
I want to come back to whether you say you're a hugger, but yeah, I tried to do a bit of research on this, and Andy's right, because it does raise our serotonin. And you know, you hear people say about like, oh, they have a cat and they stroke a cat because it calms them, and it does lower our heart rate and stuff. So we do need, you know, physical touch. And that's why in this pandemic, a lot of people, loads of articles of people that live on their own are, you know, really, really suffering. And one woman,
I think me and Wayne aren't particularly, you know, we've been together for so long, we're not like very tactile people, but I think every now and again we just pass each other in the kitchen in the middle of this homeschooling hellish situation we find ourselves in, and we just have a little cuddle, and then we go along.
Oh,
so it's funny. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, me and Alex have been doing that just recently, actually, because we did actually start arguing more than we ever had over the last sort of, you know, 8, 9, 10 months or wherever long, I can't remember, 9 years.
But funny that.
I think the offshoot of that is that we've started, yeah, passing in the kitchen and just going, ah, and a little hug. So, Jess, would you say that you're, not a hugger then? You don't instigate a hug?
I don't instigate, no. But like Vicky, if I'm with, I've got this particular mum friend who, I don't know, she's quite touchy, really, in a sort of non-pervy way. She's always, and so I just start, you know how actors do, though, you just sort of start mirroring. And so I can quickly get into that zone, the touch zone, but it's not my, I'm not the instigator. Yeah, I'm not the instigator, which is sad.
This is why I thought this was a great topic for you two and us three. It's because we obviously all are in the theatrical world, darling, and particularly in the theatre world. Obviously it's a rite of passage to just hug straight away. If you didn't, you'd be seen as cold and weird.
True.
And I think, I was talking about this with my partner, because he doesn't come from a huggy family at all. There's a weird rule with his grandma that's like, she doesn't like hugs, so don't hug her. It's weird because she's not a cold person. She's really warm.
Well, there's a rule.
So I find it really hard. I'm like,
there's an actual rule.
Wait, it's just like, don't hug Joan. She doesn't
like hugs.
Yeah, it's like, don't hug Joan. She doesn't like a hug.
God, that
and
is sad.
I find it really weird because she's all. Yeah. But anyway, so we were discussing hugs, and I think I'm fleeting between topics. So I'm so excited about all different things. So let's go back. We were saying it's about an age thing, and I don't know if you found this when you first sort of maybe left college or left drama school, that I was cringing thinking about some of the professional circumstances I've been in, that I probably bounced in this young 20s thinking, oh, yeah, that's what I do. I'm just hug, you know. And now I think, oh, cringe. Imagine if I bounce now into Channel 4, like for meetings, as a middle-aged woman, just like hugging. I'd seem like a bit desperate. But
I don't think it is. I don't think it does sound desperate. I think it sounds authentic. There was someone on on the radio the other day, some amazing woman. The story's going to be lost now because I can't remember who the hell it was, but she's some hugely successful like politician / writer / just this guru lady. And she refuses, oh, I'll have to Google her in a minute, but she refuses. She's like, she's a dame something of Beckenham. She's Dame of Beckenham. That's where I'm from. But anyway, she refuses to shake hands. She is from Africa originally, so her family are the Ghanaian, or is that how you say it? Did I say that right? I think her family are originally from Ghana, and then she came here back in the day, so she's totally, you know, British, but she has those roots, and she thinks all this handshaking and all that is a load of absolute nonsense, and she goes straight in for a hug, and it doesn't matter who it is. And when I heard that, this was on Desert Island Discs, I thought, that is just inspirational. I loved it. Loved it. And look, she's a dame now, Hattie, so keep bloody hugging. That's what I say.
I mean, I'll be a dame. There's nothing like a dame. I'll be Dame of Wayne.
Hattie, talk to us about your family and hugs.
Yes. I was meant to say, we can ask each other questions. Well, opposite to you two, ladies, as you know. I mean, gosh, my mum loved a hug. she just, it was like medicine for her, I think. Grew up very huggy, everyone hugged. You know, I did all that kind of like aunties hugging you, slobbery kisses on the cheek, you know, that you don't really want. I wouldn't, my dad was very, he wasn't like outwardly with anyone else, but with us, very huggy. And I remember his hugs were so, lovely and strong hugs. But I would say if anyone was colder, his family died. Not all of them. Some of my aunties were absolutely lovely, but like apparently I didn't really know my nan on my dad's side. She was a bit colder, but my mum's side, soppy as you know what. So we're huggers, and you know me and my sister.
All about hugging.
She says she finds it harder. I don't know if you've had this. She finds it harder on the leaving. So, you know, if we're going for a walk, I mean, if I'm meeting her for a walk, a socially distanced walk, and it's like, this is a visual thing. You sort of go, hello. And because you're so used to just hugging, you sort of go, hello. And you can't hug. So it's really weird. And then when you go, she says, I find that the hardest. Because you sort of go, and you might do your elbow pump thing. But yeah, so it's the leaving. But yeah, very, very huggy family. So, and I think that's probably why when I went to showbiz, darling, apart from obviously in college and with friends, that's all huggy. But then when I went into the industry, I think I was a bit cocky and I thought, yeah, that's me. I'm a bouncy blonde and I'm just come in, hug, and that's all. But I think looking back, when I look at some of my earlier writing career, when I was trying to get scripts underway, I cringe now at some production meetings at me hugging, because it's like, it's different in the writing world. And I don't know, I've definitely had an awkward kiss on the neck situation with a production company CEO, and it's like, oh my god, so embarrassing. and then I think I then went the other way and went, I'm a woman, just because I'm a woman, not because I noticed, because I was, had a writing partner who was a male, that like obviously he's shaking hands, I'm like, why am I hugging? But it was a nerves thing, I didn't know what to do, and it was kind of, yeah. So,
but you're so effervescent and warm, you just ooze. Bubble, you're just such a bubbly, warm person, and you're so like authentic and natural that your hugging comes from a really like authentic place, you know, cutting down the barriers and the bullshit of society. That's you, Hattie Ashdown. Be proud of your hugging tendencies.
I think that's very nice. It makes it like a bath, it's nice, but
I think professionally, though, I feel like there's much less. Room for making an embarrassing boo-boo in a hug than go, I don't really hug, I go in for a kiss, and that's got, oh, that's, I've got myself into right old pickles with that. Yeah,
but tell us.
A hug is, it's all right, that's all right, there's no chance of mucking it up.
What have you had that thing then with like say meeting a new like a friend's friend or something, and you think, oh, am I kissing, are we kissing each other on the cheek, or what are we doing?
Yeah,
have you had,
is it one, oh, I've gone in for two and they haven't, and you've kind of brushed their lips and and awful.
Oh, if you're kissing on the, it's neck weird, for me, I've done it a few times.
It's more standard in other countries, yeah, I remember, you know, like in like France, they've got their two, and in Russia, they've got their three, and they know what they're doing. But here, we're all like, especially in London, we're all over the place, all cosmopolitan. Where are we? Are we still British? Are we European? Are we what? We're Brexiting. Are we one kiss? Are we two kiss? Are we no kisses? Are we shaking hands? What the hell are we doing, Christ? Who are we?
We need our rules. You know? See, that's what I mean. When I was in Italy, I liked it because it was like, okay, I kept forgetting, because I think they were three, I think, in Italy, and I kept forgetting. So it was like, oh, right, sorry, another one. And then, you know, but yeah, I'm on.
So do you think we're going to be like when we're allowed to go back to normal? Do you think hugging's going to not be there anymore? I don't think with your family, Hattie, it'll be all right, won't it?
Well, I feel like it's either going to go, not with my family, but in general, to answer the rigid, in general, I think it's going to go one way or another. Either we're all going to go absolutely bonkers and we'll just be no problem. And as soon as we can, we'll just be licking each other's faces. Or there is going to be a standoff. I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think there'll be no problem with what did you say, Jess? Sorry?
Just it's going to be both, because the other day, have I frozen? Uh-oh. Am I back? Am I still freezing?
You're back.
Oh, yay. The other day, it was one of Lachlan, my four-year-old's, one of his mate's birthdays, and I knew that via WhatsApp. And he was a really good friend of his at school, like really, really good. So I knew it was his birthday. I thought we'd cheer him up because they're just around the corner. We'll go and deliver some like chocolate cornflake cakes and some Lego unwanted Christmas present. But, you know, no one needs to know about that. And wrap it up and deliver it, and, you know, just before, What's that?
I said, women, didn't I get them Lego?
No, that was a good one, that one. But this was
But
anyway, we thought we'd do a secret late night, you know, surprise delivery. And I kept telling Lachlan that he might not see his friend because it was around sort of bath, bedtime, that sort of thing. And I was sort of psyching him up because Lachlan was so excited just to see another four-year-old. You know, so excited. Anyway, I got Andy to go drop him round with the boys while I did all the domestic hoo-ha, you know, after dinner. And when they get to the door, of course, the little boy, his friend, comes running to the door to see Lachlan, just so happy and surprised. And his dad got him by his cardigan and basically, you can't really see this on radio, but like yanked him back with full force. So he's got, and he yanked him back, so he sort of trips back on himself so as to maintain like 2 meters distance at the bloody door. Lachlan didn't know what was going on. And the boy looked completely traumatised. And there you go, that's where we're at. So that's going to be people like that.
I had a very similar situation yesterday. One of my daughter's friend's birthday, so we went round. And I think for me, what I'm about to say makes me feel like I think we're all going to just hugging is in us, and we'll just do it. Whatever we've gone through in this last year, I think we just have got it in us. We can't, it's in our, as animals, we've got it in us, because the kids will come out for the present. We weren't maintaining, me and the mum were maintaining, she was in the house and I was on the drive, but the kids come running out. And I said to my daughter, you know, remember to be a bit careful. And she was like, yeah, yeah. And I'm talking to the mum and the four kids, my daughter and son and her two daughters, were having a group hug on the drive.
Oh,
and they were literally all going like that.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
You can't, and I'm there. I'm not doing bad parenting.
Take
1 minute.
Oh, and you know, you've reminded me.
They missed each other.
Yeah, we did a socially distanced play, of course, as much as you can, yesterday. And there's one of Lockton's friends from nursery. And what he said on our way to the park, he said, Mummy, when I see Louis, can he give me a very, really, really, really big hug? And he just said it like that, just out of the blue. Oh. So on some, you know, really core level, he knows he's not getting that. He just knows, and he's only four.
I think I wasn't thinking that the touching side of thing was affecting my oldest, who's five, which regular listeners will know, of course. I didn't think it was really affecting him because he's one of these people, unlike the two-year-old who already is very affectionate. The oldest can be very, he will be really cuddly and touchy, but it's all on his terms sort of thing. And he has his certain, but he not, he's actually got a lot better, but he used to be like not comfortable. Even with me, I could hold his hand and he wouldn't be into it. But he said the other day, because obviously, as you know, you can have childcare if it's for work. And I don't know if I told you to this, but I was been at breaking point, let's just say that. And I think my sister could see that. And obviously both of me and my partner, we're still trying to do a bit of work. And she said, look, you know, how about I have them for the day, but she's not, you know, we're not going in the house or anything. I said, yes, please. And also they absolutely love her, not grandparents my side, they are a bit like grandparents. And my oldest absolutely adores my third sister. And I said, can you imagine when I told him that this was happening? He thought it was like Christmas. It was better than Christmas, because Christmas was just a boring average day at home. And I said, I'm going to go to Aunt Tracy's, and he went, can I touch her?
Oh.
That's the first thing he said.
Oh, God.
And he doesn't, you know, because with her, he's very cuddly and kissy. And that's the weird thing about him, is that when he's comfortable with someone, he's over the top. Because to the point he grabs her face and he, like, talks to her in her face.
Oh.
And it's, like, a bit much. But
see, my daughter's not hugely huggy, but and it was the other girls instigated that yesterday. It wasn't Jessie, but she, you could see, was like, she was laughing and enjoying it. Whether you're huggy or not, you need something from, you know, you need it,
yeah,
in some way.
Therapy, innit?
You absolutely do. So, oh my God, I can't believe we were actually whizzing through this. We've wigged through a lot of the stuff I wanted to ask anyway. So I'm just looking at, checking my questions. We've covered a lot of it. I mean, what long term effects do we think that, do you think it will have any long term effect?
Yes.
The physical side of things with the kids?
I do think it depends on the age of the kids. I think instinctively, the younger the child is, obviously, the easier it, I hope, God, please, universe, please, that it will be to recover it. But my neighbour's kid is 8. And it's messed with his head, something chronic. He's gone from this, like, really, because they're more coherent at that age, eight. They're more like, you know, they're sort of getting with the program more, aren't they, when you're 8? And he's an only child as well. So he's got that thing which Gemma's kids got, you know, where his parents talk to him like adults, like he's a bit of an adult. So they've just been talking to him about coronavirus. And they're both lawyers, barristers, and all very serious, you know, talking about their coronavirus as a grown-up to a grown-up. He's 8, and he's gone from, this is in his mum's words, the most sort of free-spirited, lively, you know, you go to a park with him, he just cycle off and disappear for ages, you know, to not even leaving the same room in the house that they live in. So he has to be in the same room as his mum the whole time, because he's got all this confusion in his head about social distancing and, you know, it's this big mess in his head. He's
the
scared.
More that they get, isn't it? Like, Huck still doesn't really get a lot of it, to be honest. So
that's good. That's good. I think that's good. I don't bang on about it to Lachlan.
I
try not to mention.
Jessie's 7, so she's a bit like your neighbour's son. She's really aware. And the school, I think going back to school and all the rules, so many rules, I think really, really has hammered it home. And she's always been a little bit like this, but she's really, really now, like, where are you going? What room are you going to be in? What, like, tonight, doing this.
Yeah.
And my partner's working up the shed up the end of the garden. She was sort of insinuating that she was being neglected, like, there was no one looking after her. I'm like, Hattie won't mind if you come in and disturb the if there's something happened. I'm in the house. So I think it has made definitely it's affected them.
But their world has become small, so it's gonna, Hux is very, very clingy to me. And at the moment, hates his dad. he says this thing where he goes, I've got hearts for mummy, but I haven't got any hearts for daddy. Thank God Alex is the most chilled out. He's just like, well, it's just the phases they go through.
Whatever.
But I do say to him, I tell him off, talking about affection. Let's talk about the men. That was going to be my other thing. Because I say to him, I go, it's because I'm really affectionate with him. I'm soppy and I tell him I love him all the time. And I say, actually thinking about it, you don't. And that, again, I think comes from his family. His mum and dad don't say, I love you. And my mum always used to say, I love you at the end of every phone call. We throw it around. It wasn't like, oh, get us a cup of tea, love ya. You know, it wasn't like that, but... Okay, maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I still think these you got anyway. So, what about your men and stuff? Do you think are they huggy people? Are they affectionate with the kids?
Oh God, yeah.
And mega. It's like Wayne. I learned that earlier.
And obviously Andy is.
Yeah.
But that was going to say, talking, whether you would agree with this, is talking about the whole etiquette of hugs and that, thinking about it. It is so different. If we were doing this with your partners, they'd have some different answers, I think. Because at the end of the day, let's be honest, it's I was talking about one of the first times I saw Alex when we met. And I remember... mutual friend. I said, oh, I think I quite like him. And she said, oh, yeah, I've met him. She went, he's a good hugger. And I was asking him about it. I said, oh, do you remember Juliet? You know, she said you're a good hugger. And I said, what were you doing hugging her like the first time you met her? And he went, well, I was a 20-odd-year-old boy. That's just like what you do, not in a sexual way, but like, oh, we're all at Edinburgh Festival and we're all hug. He said, I think it's an age thing. He said, because I wouldn't do that now. And I said, what, because you're married? He went, no, it's just like a guy in your mid-30s. Yes, I've got a toy boy, everybody.
That's so true, though, isn't it?
It's an age thing.
Yeah.
An age thing, is it?
I always laugh.
I cast my mind back.
I always laugh at him indoors when he said, when Jessie gets like boys at school horrible to her, and chase around. She said, they're mean, they're really horrible, I hate boys. And he says, listen, when I was their age, I really fancied Sarah Bradshaw. And the only way I knew how to show her that I really liked her was I pushed her over. So, you know, boys develop from being, oh, I really love push me over. No, because then he got to his 20s, so then he was all like
confident and but in terms of like, I think it is more of a woman thing, like going back to the sort of professional setting. So if you were meeting in a writer's meeting or something like that, for men it's just like, oh, we handshake, and there isn't that window. It would be really weird if they cuddled, but it's less acceptable. But
it is funny, you just
now I'm all quite
Andy, his dad, he's from Aberdeen, everybody, from Scotland. And him and his dad, I remember casting my mind back to the first time I met his parents, and they are proper full-on huggers. When they see you at the airport, I was completely flummoxed, like a boarding school girl, you know. And they've got their arms out, and there's these rosy cheeks and this cheeriness, sort of just so cheery and huggy. And I sort of freeze in that setting, but I sort of love it at the same time. It's lovely. And my Andy always comments when he meets my very English straight-laced father, Hattie, you know him, like he's external world. He's as straight-laced and sort of old-school English as they come. And whenever he sees Andy, he shakes his hand, you know. And Andy sort of awkwardly shakes my dad's hand. Yes! Because my dad just would never. If you hug, it means you're homosexual. That is it, you know. You the only men that hug are gay, and there's nothing in between. He even shakes my brother's hand. My dad.
No.
He shakes.
Oh, yeah, my God.
But me, he's mega, mega tactile. With daughters, yeah, it's different. He's so, so tactile. But with sons and with men in general, you shake the hand, you know. It's a loving shake. It's not a weird shake. It's a loving but firm, yeah, it's manly. Like,
it's yeah, a slight stroke when he does it. I want to tell you a funny story. I was just like, again asking Alex about this, and two like awkward sort of like, you know, you got Alex coming from a background of people don't hug, and then my brother-in-law really came from a background of no hugging, and my sister had to do a lot of work on him. And so now it's like, he knows, like, I'm in the Ashdown family. That's what they do. It's like, you can see him working up to it. And it's like, just hug. Just get the hugging now before there's no awkwardness.
I've seen that look on his face. Yeah, I've seen that look.
He said he went through a phase with Rue where we would sort of like I'd go to sort of shake his hand, but he did that thing, like, you know, like that guy hug where it's like a kind of hand across the body thing. He's like, all right, mate, you know. And he said, but it would always get a bit confusing. Yeah. And we'd end up having both our hands down by our penises. So we just sort of have this, like, the arm has gone down as if a brush of the crutch. But you see, women would just laugh about that. I mean, we have booby hug, or me and Vic, or whatever, a booby hug.
Such a booby hug.
Oh, I love a booby hug. I'd be like, oh, yeah, bring it in.
Yeah.
Bringing the bikes.
And I just feel like so many hugs with you in the freezing cold when we used to do our promo. And I just feel like,
oh, yeah,
and you'd be like, well, we're both broken, but you'd be like particularly cold and broken. You'd always get so cold. And I just sort of like hug you in.
So blue. I was always blue.
Blue lips.
Yeah.
Do you remember I
went, yeah, you were so good that way.
And we had to go and,
yes, with that woman.
Warm ourselves.
What happened to that woman, you know, the one?
Oh, the two.
I'm a fully paid up member of Equity, that one. Do you know that one?
I don't know.
That weird.
She's that was a team leader. And I went,
and you went, blue lips, blue lips.
We need a break. She's got blue lips.
Team leader.
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. And I just go into the nearest pub and just desperately warm my hands onto the hand dryer.
Yeah, we'd go in the hand dryer. For those who don't know what we're talking about, we used to do promo work where basically it's where you hand out leaflets for some local shop that no one wants to go to. And we'd just stand in the freezing cold.
And you'd always be wearing hot pants in December. Yeah, freezing. It was always freezing.
Always freezing. It's like, oh,
it was never nice, balmy day.
No, I know a good time to do a promotion for this gym. Let's do it in the winter.
December. That's when I met you. I met you in December.
And it was Victoria Station.
December. It was bloody freezing.
I always remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to end on, I've slightly changed this now for COVID time. So I like to ask our guests, what you would do with a child-free night. But now I'm changing it a little bit. You've got a COVID-free night. So you go back in time to a year ago, if you like, or just there's no COVID. And I want you to say where you're going, what you're doing, who you're with, what you're eating.
What you're doing, who you're with.
Not. And you've got no kids. You're just free. Oh, I mean, unless you want to take your kids on your night out. Jess, do you want to go first?
it's not original, but I do miss the bloody cinema. I just wanna go cinema. I just wanna eat posh, some sort of really fancy with loads of margarita cocktails, just limitless.
So one of those posh
and just yeah, cuddle up on one of those posh cinemas with the love seats. You know the ones I mean, like what you get in Hampstead. Do you know the ones?
Yeah.
And you get waitresses come round. Because cinemas seem like something of the old days now, don't they? Like, when are cinemas coming back? Fucking never, excuse my French. When are they coming back? 2025?
Would you be with your partner, or have you had enough of him? Would you want a night off?
I have to be honest, I did instinctively get partner in my head, because all we get is the domestic baloney. That's all we're just like a business, it's like a business arrangement. You're like ships in the night. I don't actually see him as a lover anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're just passing over, handing over duties. And so we need to get the loving back and sit in a love seat in a cinema and, you know, that's get the shoes
true.
On.
That's so true.
You know?
Vicky, where would you be going? Who are you going?
Get romance back.
Oh, I'm absolutely in the same place. Like, not cinema. That isn't something that we're we've done so much over the years. But I think we pizza somewhere in London, and maybe a madness gig.
Ah,
yeah, nice meal. Meal and madness gig, and yeah, maybe a hotel.
Oh, yes, that is, I have to say,
hotel.
Can you imagine?
I was thinking, actually, I just love a weekend in a spa, but on my own, because I felt a bit like I don't want to talk to anyone, because I feel like I'm constantly. But I'm not really, but now I'm a bit like, no, I'd need someone that I'm really comfortable with, that I can talk with. So, yeah, probably would be Alex. I'm sounding like I've got to say it because you two have said it.
My brother's wife does the hotel. She goes spa weekends on her own. That's part of their deal.
Well,
my brother's wife.
She
has this, especially with the.
That was my thing. It's a separate thing to the night. I mean,
especially with the COVID thing.
Oh, just to be, yeah, a bit of pampering. I remember when the last lockdown came out, I went and got my eyebrows done. I mean, I don't want to say what it did to me, just someone touching my eyebrows.
Yeah. God, yeah. Hair off.
Oh, just a night. We could all go for a spa. Let's dream of it.
Yeah.
It will happen.
Stone massage.
Or a stone massage. I've had one of them.
Oh, yeah, baby. Bring on the stone.
Okay, I'm wrapping you up now.
In a big hug.
A big hug.
Hey, can we just quickly say, you know, people keep doing, love you, virtual hug. When you're in the park, love you.
Yeah.
No one I know has done that.
What is that? Virtual hug.
For people that you can't. It's
the whole thing.
Arms out in front as if she's sort of saying,
I'm hugging you.
I think it's the north of the river thing. They're doing this north and they're doing the elbow thing south, I think.
Yeah, I haven't really come across the elbow.
There's been elbows. Right, when I did do gigs, when I went back into the real world for a little bit, there was a bit of elbows. That was a question I was meant to ask you. Just quickly, if anybody had situations where people are hugging you and you're like, oh, and I had it at a gig and I went, oh, sorry, I'm not hugging. And I felt that thing to kind of go, you want to go, sorry, it's not because I don't love you, and it's not because I think you're full of germs, but it's like, come on, I shouldn't have to apologise.
No, I think I've had that, not with hugs, but but not going into someone's house and then other people going in or them going, oh, do you want to come in? And me going, I'm not really doing that.
Yeah, and you don't. And then did they seem offended?
No, not at all. But I just, It's just really hard when we're all of us have got our own little, have got our own little roles and little exceptions, you know, and it's embarrassing and awkward.
Yeah. And something we shouldn't have to, like, go.
I'm not hugging, if you're not hugging your sister, you can't be hugging a guy
a gig,
you know.
Yeah.
Really, well, that's really hard.
Oh, ladies. Right, I'm going to stop the show, as it were. So thank you so, so much. Don't forget to follow all our ladies, but you can't follow Jess because she's not on any social medias. That's how cool she bloody is. But the new series of Pennyworth starts in March. It's March the 7th. Is that all right?
Is it? Well, it was February the 13th, but you might have the updated news that I don't, not being on social media, don't actually know because they're still editing it because of all the lockdown stuff. So it was due to be out on the 13th of February, the very show I'm in. But Hattie Ashdown, who is on social media, probably knows the truth, and it may well have been put back to the 7th of March. Probably, Hattie, you're right.
I'm just Googling, I'm just asking Google.
Sometime in the future on Amazon Prime.
And Vicky, anything else you want to big up apart from the Piper? I mean, is it on there for a limited time?
Oh, you must, yeah. It's I'm very proud of it. It's on BBC Sound, so there's no there's no limit on. I think it's on there for quite a long time. I've written a play for the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama, which is like the Welsh RADA. And they're going to do an end, because of COVID, do an interactive kind of recording of it in February and March. So I'll try and promote that when that's out. And then I've got a play, hopefully, at the Queen's in the autumn in Hornchurch. So,
yeah. I remember you talking about that Hattie's party last year.
That's the theatre came to see Satan's play, brilliant.
What's it about, Vicky?
It's an adaptation of a book about the witches, the witch finder general in the Civil War. So it's a period piece, but it's a play with five women and one man, and that's the witch finder. So it's a hopefully a real cracking female drama.
Oh, let's hope it gets put on live. Yeah.
Fingers crossed the world is different to what it is now. God.
I just can't bloody wait to go and see this. I'd even go watch the bad theatre. And on that note, thank you, my lovely friends. Please keep listening to the show, subscribing and sharing and telling everybody. That's the only way. It's the only way. We're going to move on up, and we all need to move on up. And we really appreciate your feedback. Thank you for. I'm always getting lovely from listeners. So thank you very much.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of the Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.